As we've been praying and talking about and studying about prayer and in this effort that we've been really working at is in becoming more and more of a house of prayer to the Lord. We were talking last week about praying from where we are, the idea of that a lot of times people are praying from the darkness. So we pray from where our walk is. If we're walking in the darkness, that's where we're praying from, and our prayers are going to be hindered. But if we're walking in the light, then that's where we're praying from, and God is going to hear our prayers. And so we need to be careful then about, you know, our walk in life and where is it that we are truly walking day to day in our lives. This morning, I've been so excited about this morning to share this lesson with you because as I was working on this lesson and studying for this and so forth, I came across one of those, you know, light bulb moments, those aha moments in studying this text. And I have preached about this particular text many, many times. I've read it I don't know how many times. You have probably heard a lot of sermons. I know you have because I've preached several sermons on it here over the years. But as I was studying this text again, it's kind of like the Kellogg's Corn Flakes commercials, you know, taste them again for the first time. And I read this text through and I started looking at some of the words that are here and one particular word in this, and all of a sudden, you know, I got a whole completely new meaning out of this text. And it's exciting because it has to do with exactly what we've been focusing on is prayer. You know, in the writer of Hebrews, when you look at the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, what we really see happening here, what the writer is doing is making a contrast between the way things were under the law of Moses and the way things are under the law of Christ. And so there are several different things that the writer puts one against the other. This is the way they were, this is the way they are now. And so in that contrast is trying to show us how much better things are under Christ than they were under that old law system. And he's talking about the sacrifices and the worship and all of those things. And one of the things that we see happening here, he talks about this Old Testament sacrifice, the bulls and the goats that were offered time and time again, continually being offered year after year. And he says, could never take away sins. But the sacrifice of Jesus was offered one time for all, you see. And there is one of the most powerful contrasts between what the old law could accomplish and the limits of it versus what the law of Christ accomplished for us. And that brings us, all of those contrasts that he's making, bring us to verse 19 of chapter 10, where he uses that very familiar word, therefore, okay? And therefore is, as we've talked about many times before, is one of those words that refers to all the stuff he's been talking about up to that point and then connects it to what he's getting ready to say. So we look at all this, we go, all these things he's been contrasting between the old and the new law, and he says, therefore, okay, you with me? And then look at what he says here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Verses 24 and 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What the writer here is focusing on is the importance of entering into the Holy of Holies. And as he contrasts this particular part of it. What the focus is that under the old law, under the law of Moses, the only person that was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies or the most holy place was the high priest. You see? And the high priest was only supposed to do it on the Day of Atonement, you see? But he went in to offer sacrifice, put the blood, sprinkle the blood on the altar on behalf of the sins of all of the people. But it was even then just a rolling back of the sins for another year, not to take them away. And so now, he says, under the law of Christ, we can enter into the presence of God, enter into the Holy of Holies. You see, one of the things that we have to understand also that's really important in this text is that, and the writer of Hebrews brings this out, is that all of that system under Moses was only a shadow or a copy of the real thing that is in heaven. See? In chapter 8 and verse 5, he mentions that, okay? That this is, these things are only a shadow of the real things that are there. So the old law allowed the high priest to enter in, only the high priest to enter in, to offer on behalf of all of the people. Under the new law, the law of Christ, the curtain has been torn in two. And now all believers are able to enter into the Holy of Holies. Okay? What that really means is, if you stop and think about it, okay, we get to enter the throne room. Okay? Think about that. We get to enter the throne room into the presence of Almighty God. And really, what we need to understand about this is that we do that when we go to pray to our Father in heaven. Now, here's the really, really neat part. This is the revelation that I had this past week, okay? That really kind of changed my whole perspective on this passage. Because, you know, this passage in Hebrews 10, and especially verse 25, we typically use that passage as a way to make people feel guilty for not coming to church. You know, we look at this passage as all having to do with worship, with assembly, assembling of ourselves together, and that's what it's all about. But what I realized in this study this week, there's one word in this passage that when you really understand it, what that word means in the original language, it changes. It changes the context of this passage for us. It helps us to understand what it's really all about. That one word, in the King James translation, it's boldness. In the NIV, it's confidence. We have confidence to enter the most holy place, or we have boldness. Well, stop and think for just a moment. When you think of that word, what does it typically bring to mind? Well, usually it's ideas like power. It's being fearless. It's the idea of being able to come with certainty and assuredness and those kinds of ideas. One of the neat things about the Greek language is, and we've talked about this before, is that the Greek language has oftentimes a lot of different words, you see, for one word that we have in English. Just again, take our English word love. We have only one word for the word love, where the Greeks have a lot of different words. And this is another really cool example of how that works. There are several different words in the Greek language for boldness or confidence. And each one has its own specific meaning or application. And what's really cool about the word that is used in the Greek language in this text, the word is parousia. And that word, listen to me, that word means primarily freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Unreserved utterance. To speak without ambiguity. To speak plainly. The absence of fear in speaking boldly. Wow. You talk about an aha moment. Doesn't that change the context of how we typically look at this verse? It's not talking about what we do when we gather here together. Not only that, it's talking about when we pray to God. It's talking about freedom of speech. It's saying what we have, therefore, brethren, we have freedom of speech as we enter into the presence of Almighty God. That's talking about prayer. We can go to God in prayer and be free to speak what's on our heart and our mind. That's different than the idea of kind of feeling confident because of what Jesus did that I can come before Him and worship Him. I should be able to do that too. But this text is specifically talking about talking to God. It's our speech. So all of these things we've been talking about with prayer, you see, the writer here is telling us we can do that with confidence. We have, in a sense, like our constitutional right to free speech that we have in America, that God has granted that to believers. You see? Because the word that's used right here is talking about free speech. We can come before God and speak freely before Him. To me, that's awesome. It really is. It's awesome to know that God has removed the veil. He's removed all of the obstacles that prohibited people from coming to Him and speaking freely. He removed those things. And He invites us to come into His presence. That's the Holy of Holies. That's what that references to. That we can come into the Holy of Holies where God is and we can talk to Him about what is on our heart and mind freely. Okay. Why is that so significant? I think it's because when we really think about the whole idea of freedom of speech and what that word is implying here, I think it answers some very vitally important questions concerning our prayers. Questions like, what if I'm mad at God? You ever had one of those questions? Never had any of those feelings where you were mad at God about something? And, you know, you didn't feel like it was okay for you to talk to Him about it because you were mad at Him? When we're talking about freedom of speech, I think that implies that, yeah, it's okay for us to tell God that we're mad at Him. It's okay for us to go to God and say, God, I don't understand this, and I need some help in understanding this. And God, right now I'm angry. Right now I'm scared. Right now I'm hurt. Right now I don't know what's going on. But be able to open up freely whatever it is we're feeling, so that we don't have to feel like we need to go before God and pretend. See, that's the idea here. We can be real before God and speak freely to Him. Now, you know, I didn't mention here at all, but you need to understand, we're not talking about being disrespectful, okay? We're not allowed to be disrespectful to God. Okay? But we can speak freely. There's a difference. Okay? God wants us to be able to open up and tell Him what's on our heart and what's on our mind freely. Okay? To express ourselves. And we need to be able to do that as we go to Him in prayer, as we enter the throne room and talk to Him. Okay? To tell Him how we really feel. Not trying to hide our true feelings like we sometimes do with one another. We do that, don't we? You know, we greet one another at the door. We say, "Hi, how are you doing?" And we go, "I'm fine, how are you doing?" We lie sometimes, don't we? Because we're really not fine. But we don't want to burden other people. We don't want to tell other people how we're really feeling. We don't want to get into it and all the other stuff. So we just, "I'm fine." We put on a happy face. God doesn't want us to do that with Him. He doesn't want us to go to Him with a happy face all the time. He wants us to be able to come to Him even when we're not happy, when we're afraid, when we're upset, when we're bothered by something. He wants us to come to Him and freely talk to Him. You see? And that's what the writer here is expressing to us. Because of this difference between the way things were under the old law of Moses and the way things are under Christ, therefore, we have freedom of speech before God. Entering into the throne room, the Holy of Holies, to be able to talk to Him about whatever is going on in our lives. That, to me, is awesome. See? That's awesome. When we pray, when we go before our Father in prayer, we need to understand that that is what we are doing. We are entering into the throne room of Almighty God, the Holy of Holies. And while we're there, God wants us to speak to Him freely. That's the privilege that we have as Christians under this new law of Christ. You see. I think that's awesome. I really do. It's just awesome. Make that mental picture in your mind that when you bow and pray, that you are entering into the throne room of God, the Holy of Holies, and God is saying, "Speak your mind. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what's on your mind." Now, we have to understand that part of it, and then what that does when we really kind of grasp that, then that brings us to the lettuce part. Okay? All right? Y'all notice that. It's not a misspelling. That was intentional to help you to remember it. Okay? Don't forget the lettuce when you're entering the throne room. Okay? There are five lettuce statements here that the writer of Hebrews makes about our relationship with one another and with God. Okay? As we're entering into this throne room, and how do these lettuce statements fit into what the writer wants us to understand? Well, the first thing that he says is, let us draw near unto God. Realizing that when I can enter into the throne room of Almighty God should cause me to feel closer to Him and be drawn near to Him. You see? So let us draw near unto God. Let us hold, he says, unswervingly to the hope we profess. Again, when I recognize the relationship that I have with God and the fact that I'm entering into His throne room to be with Him in His presence in the Holy of Holies, that ought to give me hope. And it ought to help me to hold unswervingly that nothing is going to cause me to let go of that hope. When I realize that any time I want and need to, I can enter into the throne room of the King, that in itself should give me a tremendous amount of hope. Why should I feel hopeless in any circumstance I find myself in, when I know that I can enter into the throne room of Almighty God and talk to Him about what's on my heart and mind. He goes on in the third one, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. You see, I think sometimes, you know, folks focus on that spurring one another. We look at all the things that are wrong with one another and jabbing. But he's saying, let us consider how we might spur or encourage one another on toward love and good deeds. So this is not only relational with God, as we're able to enter into the throne room and talk to Him about what's on our heart and mind, but how then does that relationship with God affect our relationships with one another? How does it, in a sense, kind of spill over into those relationships? So we need to be looking at then how we can encourage one another on towards love and good deeds. Not only can I enter into the throne room, but so can you. You see? So can all Christians. And we can use that to encourage and to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then there's that part about not forsaking the assembly, the one that we just kind of always seem to focus on. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another daily. And all the more as we see the day approaching. You see? How important then is it when we realize that we have the privilege to enter into the throne room of Almighty God and to speak what's on our heart and mind. You see? That we want to be gathered together with other people that can do the same thing. And I think that that speaks to the collective power of our being able to go to God collectively, you see, and enter into that throne room, you see, on behalf of anyone. Think about it this way. You know, you only have to watch the news for, you know, 2 minutes where you see all of the unrest that's going on around the world, especially right now over in the Middle East. And one of the things that's happening and that's really bringing a lot of the stuff forward is that people en masse are protesting, aren't they? You see? We're talking about thousands and thousands of people that are gathered together in opposition to their government, you see? And what they're doing is they are saying to their government, we want our voice to be heard. You see? In other words, if it was just one person by themselves, the government would go, carry him away, and you'd never hear about him again, you see? But when it's thousands and thousands of people that are gathered together, the world notices, the government has to notice, and it can't be just kind of shoved aside. That's what the power of collectiveness does, you see. It brings a lot of people together and their voice is heard. Well, think about it this way in terms of us coming before God. Think about it from the standpoint of the power, you see, of us collectively coming before God and making our request known to Him together. You see? Not only do we have that right and privilege to do it individually, but we have the right to do it collectively. You see? To come before God as a people, as a crowd, if you would, to come before God and to say, God, together we're here to petition you on behalf of this event or this person or this problem or whatever it would be. And God hears us collectively. What awesome power there is in that kind of prayer. Yeah. When you realize that, you have stuff going on in your lives, it's like we've talked about so many times, who of us doesn't? Why would you not want to avail yourself to that kind of power? You see, before God. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Russ said we can all go before God and we can rebel against Him. That's not my point, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It's not about rebellion. This is about God collectively hearing us as we bring our petitions before Him. Because He loves us. What an awesome, awesome relationship that brings us into, not only with one another, but with God. To enter collectively into the throne room of Almighty God, being able to speak what's on our heart and mind, and to talk to Him, to have Him hear us, to hear our petition. And that's what the writer here is really wanting us to understand, I believe. You understand that one word as it's intended to be understood, boldness, confidence. I think it brings a whole new meaning and understanding to what this text is really all about. It's about prayer. Okay? It's about us being able to go before God and speak freely before Him about what's on our heart and mind, knowing that He will listen to it. We are in the presence of Almighty God. I don't know what that does for you in your prayer life, and just thinking about that, but I know for me, it's opened up some really cool things in my heart and mind. Okay. And I hope that perhaps as you think about it and you contemplate this more, that it will do that for you. Because you see, the message is this. God wants relationship with us, as we've been talking about all along. He wants us to come to Him and to talk to Him through prayer. When we begin to realize that when we are praying before God, that we are actually entering into the Holy of Holies, into His presence, and that we enter there being free to speak what's on our heart and mind, that ought to energize us tremendously in our prayer lives. It really should. What's going on with you? I've already mentioned this morning, we got, you know, you look around, you see all these empty seats, and we've got some folks, yeah, they're off on vacation, but we've got some folks that aren't here because of stuff that's going on in their lives that's tragic, some things that are going on that are hurtful and painful and scary and all of those kinds of things. And that's why a lot of them aren't here this morning. But those of us who are here, doesn't mean that everything's going great in our lives either. Okay? Maybe something going on with someone here this morning that you feel that you need and want to bring before the throne of God this morning. Knowing that you have the freedom to speak to Him and to say, God, please hear my prayer. Here's what's going on in my life. If there's someone here this morning that would describe you, that's where you are right now, then take this opportunity as we collectively will go before God with you on your behalf. If someone here this morning is not a Christian yet and you're ready to become one, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to give your life to Him, you can do that this morning. Confess Him as Lord and repent of your sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. And we will, again, collectively go before God's throne on your behalf so that you can become a Christian. Whatever is going on, whatever you might need, whatever help we can give you, we can't give it if we don't know what it is. Okay? So we offer this opportunity for people to be able to respond to an invitation. Ted, are you going to be in the back? Ted will be in the back. If there's someone who would like to have prayers on your behalf, but maybe you don't necessarily want to share publicly what's going on, you can go back and talk to Ted, and he will pray with you back there. If you'd like to come up front, then I'll be up here to receive you. Steve, would you come up and lead us in our song, please? Let's stand together and sing.